little bit this morning on that very thought about the promises of God. And I want to read a few verses out of Romans chapter 4. But I was thinking about, we've seen promises, all of us have had promises made to us. Anybody made you a promise and didn't keep it? Anybody made you a promise and didn't keep it, whether they just forgot it or whatever? But we see that happen a lot of times. Promises are broken. And we see many made, many broken. And there may have been many reasons for them being broken. But a promise is only as good as the one who promised it, their ability to fulfill that promise. Isn't that right? Somebody promised me $1 million and they're living on the street. I say, well, yeah, But if they ride around a big Lincoln or something, then they promised me that, or they're executive or somebody high degree, I think, boy, that might just come to pass. How about you? And if government promised me something, I just don't worry about it. Hello? But a promise is a commitment to do something or to bring or not to do something, right? That's what a promise is. And there's over, like we said, 3,000 to 7,000, maybe more in the Word of God. But here in Romans chapter 4, we're going to read this and then we're going to pray. Verse 18, talking about, Paul is talking about Abraham. And he says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And look at verse 20. It said, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully, everybody say fully, being fully persuaded. You know, I guess that means you can be persuaded, but not fully, right? So it says, being fully persuaded that what he promised or what God promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. I got to thinking about that. Here is Abraham. You all know the story, up in years, and his wife. But God made him promises. Quite a few promises. And the thing that stands out about Abraham, and he was just a man, but he was a friend to God. He was a man of faith. But he believed God. And you and I today, we still have to believe God in faith, don't we? The just shall walk by feelings. No, that's not quite true, is it? Because how many of those feelings come and go? But God's word is forever settled in the heavens. I feel something coming on here. I feel the presence of the Lord in this house. How many believes God's here? I felt him in the singing, felt him early when we walked in. But Abraham believed God and he staggered not. And sometimes the enemy attacks us and comes against us. And even when you've been saved for a long time and filled with the Holy Ghost, that doesn't mean you're exempt from trials or battles, does it? I mean, we still struggle. I went from pastoring to help pastor, a connection pastor in Faith Church that ran over 1,200 people. And it seemed like for a while there, Pastor Joan, I said, I'm having to learn all over about being a servant. I'm having to learn all over things that I thought I already knew. And sometimes God does that with us. We have to learn over and over and over till we get it down in us, don't we? And that is about believing God, standing on his promises. You know, taking him for his word. You know, and believing that what he promised, he's able to perform. Even though it don't look like it. As I said a while ago, when God spoke that to me, the best is yet to come, it seemed like everything in the world started developing. And I had to keep reminding myself, I said, the best is yet to come. My wife and I look at each other and she said, the best is yet to come. I said, yeah, best is yet to come. You have to keep building yourself up in faith. Because the enemy, and he's out there, and he doesn't give up just because you get saved. He doesn't give up because you're a teacher, a preacher, or you've been to church a long time. He doesn't give up. And we keep just putting a wampy on him. How many knows what I'm saying? We keep battling him, and he keeps trying to determine to cause us to lose out in our destiny with God. I want to fulfill my destiny with God, don't you? I used to hear the army say, be all you can be. I mean, how many wants to be all you can be as a Christian? I'm the type of person, if you invite me to your house, I don't want to stand back and say, well, it looks good. You all have a great time eating. I want to get in there and get chicken on my shirt or whatever. I want to get in there and help myself, and that's the way I want to be with God, don't you? We were talking this morning in the class about you never retire. You may change speeds. You may change direction, but you never retire because God doesn't ever retire from your life. Oh, I feel a shout coming on. I feel a praise in the house. I mean, he's a good God, isn't he? And we have so much in the Word of God that teaches us how to walk and to walk in victory and not to walk with our heads down or, oh my God, it's time to go to church. Pastor Stone's going to preach another hour and a half message. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We've been in church as people come in. How you doing? Oh, I should be home. Well, you probably should go back home. How about you get that attitude? You're going to be a burden to everybody. But David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Because in the house of the Lord, he was in the presence of God. And in the presence of God, miracles happen and lives are changed. And we see the glory of God and revelation of his word opens up and we're strengthened. And it gives us a boost to face the next week. Amen. It's a good thing to serve God. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Listen to what Paul says again. Now to him who is able. Everybody say he's able. To do far more abundantly. I like those adjectives. Far more abundantly. Beyond all that we ask or think. According to the power that works within us by the Holy Spirit. He's able to do those things, isn't he? How many times do we limit God in our believing? You know, I have to watch what I say, don't you? I've had to back up. Oh, I shouldn't have said it that way. Because we have to watch what we say because words are powerful. They build, they destroy, they lift up or they tear down. You know, we was talking this morning. I enjoyed that lesson so much. You know, when you get up in years, well, nothing I can do. Well, you can always go to somebody and say, you look so good today. You look so good today. Even if you are wearing Goodwill clothes. No. No, they don't have to add that part. Somebody say amen. You can always encourage somebody. Amen. You can always, God bless you, and put on a happy face. I hate to get around a bunch of grumpy people, don't you? Because you know what, when you happen, you leave grumpy too. We preached years ago when we were young then, still are young, in Denver, and we went to this church, and I don't think there was anybody there under 90. And I was all fired up, you know, about 30. Man. And we preached and we left. My wife said, how you feel? I said, I feel like I'm about 90. Because it'll rub off on you, won't it? The atmosphere of the church. That's why we ought to have those praises and songs of victory. And somebody say amen. It's all right to cut up a little bit. It's all right to be happy. Amen. And somebody said the other day, and this young lady said, I seen this on my Facebook, said, you don't have to go to church to be saved. And I thought, well, okay, I agree with that. So I agree with that. And somebody else come on there and said, well, don't let nobody put you down. And I thought a minute, now wait a minute, you don't have to go to church to be saved. But if you get saved, you want to go to church. And then I was telling her this, I said, you know, we go to church for enrichment, don't we? We get something out of the Word of God. We have fellowship. We lift up a praise to God, and God puts a blessing on us. Somebody say amen. And I said, it's just like if you go sit in your garage all day long, it won't make you a car, will it? But that garage has a purpose. Church has a purpose, amen? And that purpose is needful to all of our lives, because that fellowship and that abounding and that abiding means a powerful lot, doesn't it? To hear others' testimony and to see the glory of God move means a lot in our life. So God has far more abundantly than what we could even ask or think. What God has promised, He will do. Numbers 23:19 says that God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He said it, and shall He not do it? Or will it, hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? Oh, that's wonderful. Because I've met a lot of people that you can't believe them from one day to the next. That means you run across people like that. You really don't know what they intend. So I've learned this. Just take it for what it is and keep your faith in God, because He never lies. Go with what God says and you'll always be ahead, won't you? If you put your trust in Him, He'll do it. And it should be the desire of every believer to want to stand on God's promises. Amen? How many in here this morning, you want to stand on what God has? Because you know what? You know if you do that, you're going to excel in life. You're going to come ahead. Amen? You're going to be blessed in everything you set your hand to do if you stand on God's promises. Whew, I feel a shout coming on. If you stand on what He says, He's able. He's God. He's the Creator, the beginning and the end, and He's more than able to do it. Amen? If He says the best is yet to come, honey, you can take it to the bank, because the best is yet to come. And God will make it happen. Oh, hallelujah. When you commit your life fully to Him and learn to trust Him against all circumstances. Again, Abraham, up in years, and his wife, I'm going to have a baby. Surely you, Josh. But God said it, amen. That's a different city. When God says it, it will come to pass. So every believer, I like what Charles Spurgeon said. This was a great preacher. He said, don't put God's promises as something strange to be placed in a museum just to be looked at, but believe them and use them. That's what we should do every day. We should be standing on the promises. That old song says, standing on the promises. I'm going to stand on them. Somebody else may fail, but I'm going to stand on God's promises, because I want the best I can get out of this life. How about you? This is the only life you're going to live, amen? I want to live it in victory and joy and peace with God at the rim. I want to live it in His name, amen? And I know He's able to help me. And young people, if you always put God first, commit yourself, you'll never be disappointed, amen? Learn that God is faithful. He watches over that word to perform it and bring it to pass. Oh, such a good God He is. Can you say amen? He's good. Believe in God's promises and stand on them opens doors to miracles to come to pass. I believe in miracles, don't you? All things are possible with God. And if we believe God, all things are possible in our lives. Every time the devil says something, I thought this morning, I felt pain. I said, oh, I'm excited about going to church. And like in my spirit, Pastor John, I felt, arr. I said, devil, that's all you can is roar. Jesus pulled your teeth. All you got is a roar. Somebody say amen. Because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Ah, it's good living for God. Amen. And I'm not one of those that's barely going to make it. How about you? You hear I was raised in another denomination back in the East growing up, and I used to hear them stand and say, oh, if I could just barely make it into heaven. And I get to picture somebody slipping in. That's not the way it reads. Somebody say amen. Enter in to the joys of the Lord. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you master and ruler over many. Amen. Because we're faithful to God. And if we're faithful to God, there's nothing. Everybody say nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing that can stop you. Once you believe God and get determined to stand on His promises, He will fulfill His word. He's a good God. We got a love affair going. How about you? It's called fellowship. It's called abiding in the vine. Amen. I'm a branch. And his will is that this branch bear fruit. Somebody say amen. Amen. And as long as I'm connected to the vine, that life flow from Jesus is going to flow through me, and I'm going to be fruitful and multiplied. Somebody say amen. You get disconnected. You disconnect yourself from church. You disconnect yourself from the Word of God. Then you're not going to bear any fruit. You're not going to have any fruit. Going to go to looking for a golden, delicious apple and won't find nothing but a crab apple. Hello. It's just, that's the way life is. I enjoyed those deep thoughts of wisdom that the pastor brought this morning. Those problems. Those were good, Pastor. He said, I thought, what deep proverbs. But it's true. Every bit true. Amen. Every bit true. It's what you put into it. You don't put nothing into living for God, you'll never be happy. You'll always go to church and why is she had to sing? Why is she there? She just wants to show out. But if your mind's on God, you go, you don't see none of that. You're seeing Jesus, amen? And you come to church to worship Him in spirit and truth, and you're not worried about nothing else, and everybody else looks good, amen? And that's when you go home saying, I got it. You may just get one nugget. You may just get one thought, but you'll go home, I got something. I got something that's helped me this morning. I got something that's enriching my walk with God. I am a warrior. I am above, not beneath. Sure, I struggle. Everybody has some struggles. Hello, even the devil attacked Jesus. Amen. But Jesus said, 'tis written. It's written. Get thee behind me. Say, it's written. And sometimes we as believers have to take that authority and believe that we have that authority that Jesus gives us. The Word of God in us, the Holy Ghost in us, power to stand against Him and say, that's enough. I've said to the devil before, just shut your face. That means ever had him come at you, the spirit, you can't, you don't feel good. You can't make it tonight. You've been to church already once today. You can't make it again. I'd take authority and say, just shut up. Just shut up. He's my strength. He's a light. He's the love of my life. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4. Listen to this. This is beautiful. According as His divine power have given unto us all things. Everybody say all things. Oh, I need this. He's given it to you. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. Through the knowledge of Him that have called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of that divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He's given us special things. His life, His Word, that I can be a partaker. Pastor, the Lord gave me a message one time on being a part. Are you a partaker? No, I'm a spectator. You want to be a partaker. You want to enjoy the presence of God. You want to enjoy what God has for you because it's very vital to your spirit and your soul, man. Amen? I found this out, and you have too probably, that if you there's certain things that's important in life, and that is, number one, God in all your life. Honor Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, and He shall direct thy path. When you trust Him, oh, life changes. Life changes, doesn't it? You have struggles. You have ups and downs. Not too long ago, I had a knee replacement. And I went about 3 years struggling, hurting. I said, I can't do that. That's a lack of faith. I come to the point that I said, I had it. I had enough pain. God, I don't know why you have it, because I've seen you perform miracle after miracle after miracle. We pastored in Okemah, Pentecostal Holiness, for 9.5 years, and it was a small church, and you walked by the windows in the church, and the curtains would blow, you know, from the wind outside. It was mold, and it smelled terrible, and a lot of folks, you know, in there, we said, we got to do something. Yeah, we couldn't build. That was too far beyond where we're at, but we said, we can do something. How many wants to remodel? Oh, yes, yes, yes. So they put it to a vote, and everybody was for it. So it was going to cost us about $50,000. So we went to our conference, and we got that long, and we started remodeling and everything. And we had a lot of folks in our church, and I don't say this distastefully, but they were on, you know, Social Security or something. They said, "Now, Pastor, we don't have no money." I said, "That's okay. God has money." "You can't hear me." I said, "God has money. I'm not expecting you. God's able." And I preached that. I said, "God's able to provide what we need." And truth, my wife and I suffered a few times in want, but God always come through. And I kept preaching that for about 8 months. And the long for was 3 or 4 years, I think. And we had a lady from Tulsa that visited our church several times, and she had her brought her teenagers, and she really wasn't a member. She was a member of the church in Tulsa, but she owned stables, you know, horse stables, and got into horse, you know, that kind of thing, racing and all that or something. I don't know. But anyhow, one day my wife and I finished mowing. You know, sometimes around the church, especially if it's a small church, pastor does everything. Hello, because he can't get nobody else to do it. Everybody else said, "Well, you just have it clean when I get there, Pastor." Hello, are you here? Some of you are looking at me. We know what it's like, amen. But we got home, rode back to the house, wasn't too far, on two mowers. And here was a young man come driving up, and, "Are you Pastor Honeycutt?" "Yes, I am." "Well, I have something for you." So he hands me a check. I look at it, and I say, "Okay." I hand it to my wife, and woo, she started shouting, going on. And I said, "Okay, what's a big deal? It's $62,000. What's a big deal?" Hello? But God sent $62,000 our way. I have pictures of it. I can prove it. Hello? And I said, "God, why wasn't I excited like she was?" She said, "Well, you was expecting it, wasn't you?" God said, "You're expecting it, wasn't you?" "Yeah." Whoop-de-doo. I was expecting it. I was preaching it. And then we had people come around in the church and said, "Who gave that? Was that brother so-and-so?" I said, "I can't tell you nothing." Our bishop called and said, "Can you tell me, Pastor, who that was? I can get their phone number." And she asked me, she said, "The only connection, the only string I put on this check is that you don't tell where it come from." And I said, "Bishop, I'm sorry, I can't tell you. I tell you, God can provide. When you stand on His promises, God is God and He will pull you." Somebody said He'll pull you through the knot hole if you can stand the strain. He'll do it. He wants to help us. Don't matter if you're young or old. Hello? Start living for God young. And you'll see all kind of miracles. Amen? Offer yourself to God young. Not when you're worn out, but that counts too. Amen? If you serve Him when you're young, God will show you and He'll build you and He'll do all kinds of great things for you. We draw closer to God as we study His promises, don't we? Draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. You'll never get anywhere unless you study His Word and hear His Word preached and hear it and study it and put it into practice. You'll never get very close to God. Your faith won't grow. But when you hear that and you study and you're anxious to hear and you come to church and you listen with ears open. We in our church sometimes some people come and while preaching, you never had this pastor's on, but we were preaching I could look at their tonsils and say, "God, Lord." Who knows what? You may not think much when you're sitting on a seat, but when a pastor or preacher gets up or singer, they see everything in the church. And we had this problem that when, you know, preaching the Word of God, and when somebody come in the back door, every head in the house went. I said, "Okay, I'm up here. Okay, now I can preach." But good people, somebody say amen. James 4:8 said, "Draw nigh," or "draw close, and He will draw nigh to you." If you do that, I want to say this, look out. Look out, because good things will be coming your way when you draw close to God. People look better when you see them at church, won't they? You'll just love like you used to love when you first got saved. You won't see their faults, their failures. Even the pastor will preach better, amen. I'll tell you, when the church eats it up and, you know, amen, and you, that causes a preacher to preach better. And maybe I might get through these three sermons this morning. No. Thank you. When we realize God's promise really talks about patience, doesn't it? My wife said she had all the patience in the world, then she got me. No, she's very patient. But we have to have patience. God doesn't always move exactly when when we hear it. Amen. Sometimes you just got to be patient and wait. And about healing, I've learned sometimes God still does the healing, doesn't he? If you have to have a surgery, whatever, God still is in the healing business, and he still blesses you for whatever reason there is. He still blesses you. And he never leaves you, and he never forsakes you. Isn't that wonderful? About God, he goes wherever. And I didn't want to have that knee. I said, only if you can give me bionic knees where I can run, you know. I said, well, that ain't going to happen. But when you believe God and you trust God, am I helping you this morning? Am I getting out there anything? Just trying to be a blessing. Hebrews 10:35 and 36. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. I like what Jeremiah said, 1:12. He said, then the Lord said to me, you can say well, for I am ready to perform my word. How many of those, God will perform his word. Amen. That clock's right. It's only 9:55. No. We need to stand on God's word. Amen. I don't want to hold you long here. A couple more scriptures maybe. And I learned this, Pastor Stone. I've heard a lot of preachers say, I'm closing. And an hour later, they're still closing. So I got a brainwave. I said, I'm in the process of closing. I'm in the process of closing. That means somewhere you're going to close. James 4:7, powerful, another promise. Submit yourself therefore to God. Oh, if we can just leave that first part out, we'd be all right. Submit. Submit yourself to God first. Then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Amen. Hebrews 13:5. Where it says, he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm closing it up. I'm not finishing, but I'm closing. Amen. God loves you this morning, doesn't he? You know, sometimes we do need to shake ourselves and remember who we're serving. Whatever your need is this morning, whatever you're going through, you can make it. You can make it. Whatever you need from God, maybe encouragement, or healing, or financial, you can make it. You can make it if you just listen to God and put God first. And submit, and draw nigh, and stand on his promises. For he loves you so much. I seen this years ago on television. It was a commercial about dog biscuits. I don't know if somebody like me, they've probably seen that. Dog would eat this biscuit, and he'd slap his arms around him, and he'd soar up off the ground, and he'd come back down. That's the way it is when you love on God, amen? You love on God, I'll tell you, soar up high. And you get what you need to help you through the day's trial, the day's battle. Would you stand with me? If you're here this morning, maybe we'd mute, could we have some music if musicians will come? And maybe if you're here and you don't know the Lord, this is a good day to turn your life over to Christ. It's a good day. It's a good day to yield to him and let him be number one in your life. Let him have control. And if you're here this morning, maybe you haven't been putting your faith to work. Maybe you've been wavering in your faith. You just haven't for healing or whatever it is. Maybe it's been hard. But I'm telling you this morning, he's able to help you. Whatever you're facing. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Never give up. God loves you. Is there one here this morning that don't know the Lord? Is there one? Anybody in the house that don't know the Lord? Thank God everybody's saved. How about anybody here that needs a touch from God this morning? Anybody? Sis, would you come and let us, Pastor said, obey the Lord. Would you come and let us pray for you? Yes. Oh, I just feel him this morning. Well, keys and kingdom shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. Pastor, would you come and help us?